Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you've missed any of my talk radio breakfast show, don't worry. We've put some of the punchiest bits of this morning's show into a bite-sized podcast, the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. Enjoy. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome Business Minister Nadeem Zahawi to the show. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, lots of hopeful news out today, particularly regarding these new rapid tests, particularly one that can take just 90 minutes, can detect coronavirus and flu, a nasal swab, so nothing that involves medical practitioners being involved in giving the test. We're told that we could be rolling that out. 1 million a day by winter, hospitals, care workers, businesses, regular screening. This is the answer to everything. The only worry is, for an awful lot of us, is we feel like we've heard this before. Yet again, another game-changing test, antibody test, this test, and yet we never seem to actually see them rolled out on the scale that we've been told before, and they never seem to be quite as accurate as we're told they will be. Is this going to prove different?
I think so, because if you look at the DNA nudge machine, this is the invention of the brilliant Professor Chris Tomasu, who... some of your listeners will recognise from his cochlear ear hearing aid, which transformed people's lives. This has been actually trialled in 6 London hospitals, and it does deliver, as Chris says, the results just over an hour. And it doesn't need a clinician or someone specifically trained to administer these tests. So that's one. We're buying 5,000 of those machines, which will be rolled out across the NHS and labs next month. The other one is from another brilliant British company, Oxford Nanopore, which is the Lamport test, which is being rolled out as of next week, 450,000 tests. Again, a machine that can do about 15,000 tests and deliver the DNA COVID test and, of course, flu tests as well in 90 minutes. So this will make a massive difference, millions and millions of tests in the coming months. And it will be a big difference. And it's as accurate as the swab test that we currently have. And Chris Tomasu quite rightly says it's sort of gold standard accuracy in terms of test quality.
OK, you can understand people's cynicism, though, given all the promises we've had about all the testing of the antibody testing. OK, so, you know, we can understand it's a new virus. Things take time. And also, you know, it turns out, you know, the antibody testing doesn't show up a lot of the cases, particularly mild cases. Lots of people don't have antibodies. They have T cells. It doesn't show that. But there's a certain amount of cynicism that we keep being promised these game changing tests. They never seem to materialise on quite the scale we're talking about. I mean, the government has just recently scaled back its promise to have regular testing of everyone working in and resident in a care home. We haven't even managed that. So how are we going to manage these new tests?
Well, look, I think you're right. We've scaled up testing by 100-fold since the virus hit us back in March. You're right to call us out on saying, look, you know, what happened with the Randox tests? Matt Hancock came to Parliament 2 weeks ago and actually said to Parliament, look, with this particular test, the Randox test, which is being utilised by care homes, we've had a problem with. We're looking at alternatives, but we're still delivering, Julia, 50,000 tests a day to care homes and focusing that on the care homes that really absolutely need it. We haven't moved away from our absolute target to make sure that all care homes get the regular testing that they need. There has been this delay. Matt Hancock came to Parliament because of a specific issue with these Randox tests. But look, you know, we're all moving very fast to respond to this virus. We're learning about how the virus is behaving as well. Hence, you see the lockdown in Leicester that's now being eased, and then the lockdown in Manchester and West Yorkshire. And I think the response from UK innovators has been phenomenal. And just to have, you know, Chris Tommaso and Gordon Sangira, two great UK innovators, deliver this in this at the speed they've done is pretty remarkable. And I think, you know, the ability to conduct tests within 90 minutes without a sort of clinical training required will be a game changer. I'm confident of that.
Okay, now no one is doubting the extraordinary British ingenuity and innovation. We may well be the first to come up with a vaccine. I mean, look, there's no doubt at all our science and our medics are fantastic on that front. The issue, though, is the rolling out of it. Once the government gets involved, rather than just some funding, there seems to be a problem in terms of rolling these out to actually be viable in the real world and on the scale which you promise. Are you guilty of rather promising too much, getting everyone's expectations up? We keep having things, you know, testing targets, all these targets, they never seem to be met. Not in the terms of which most people would understand. For instance, one person having two tests, to most of us, doesn't count as two tests. It counts as one. But you know, are you guilty of perhaps getting our hopes up a little bit too much?
Well, let me sort of take slight issue with your first point. As the Business and Industry Minister, I co-chair the Office for Life Science. And the government has created an ecosystem. If you talk to industry, whether it's the very largest in AstraZeneca or some of the innovators that are coming through, they will tell you that it's because of the Office for Life Science, because of the ecosystem that we've established in the UK, we have the ability to create both the speed to move on vaccines or on therapeutics or now on diagnostics testing in the United Kingdom. Putting us in the Premier League of countries that can react to this virus as we learn more about it. And I think it's unfair to say that to be able to increase testing by 100-fold from March is a pretty impressive accomplishment. That doesn't mean that we don't look back and learn the lessons, or that things don't quite go to plan. For example, with this Randox test that didn't quite deliver. But the right thing to do is, as Matt Hancock did, is come to Parliament 2 weeks ago and say, look, this has happened. This is how I'm fixing it. Now, sometimes the media don't quite pay attention then. They did now and say, oh, gosh, this is the same test that has caused a slight delay in terms of getting to the place where we want to be with care homes. It's still delivering 50,000 tests a day to care homes. And now with these new tests, it really is a game changer to deliver tests within 90 minutes.
OK, except two-thirds of care homes say they're not being able to get hold of those tests. So, you know, there is an issue there. Let's talk about more positive things. Eat Out to Help Out, these government £10 voucher scheme, is starting today for Monday to Wednesday throughout the month of August. People can get up to £10 off meals at half price, up to £10 if they go out. It doesn't include alcohol, which people be disappointed to learn, but encouraging people to go out Monday to Wednesday when restaurants, cafes and pubs and that are often likely to be very empty anyway, to encourage us to get, well, not just to spend some money in these very battered industries and sectors, but also just to get back in the habit of going out. Will you be using your vouchers?
I certainly be taking the family out to help my local restaurants. A lot of Stratfordians will do the same thing. And I think it's the right thing to do. If you look at the sector, Julia, and again, because obviously I cover business, the people who work in that sector, and you're right to say that sector has been really impacted heavily by coronavirus, tend to be younger people of BAME background or female and lower.
Why is that relevant? Why is someone's race or sex relevant in this conversation?
I'm going to tell you why, because, hello?
We can hear you. You've gone a bit fuzzy on the video. Oh, I think we've got you back.
Sorry, there's another media outlet calling. That's why.
There are other media outlets?
You reign supreme. But no, the reason it's important, I'm saying, is that actually those demographics have been impacted, and it's right that we all go out and support the sector, support that people work in it who are on, struggling in many ways because they were first in and probably last out of this pandemic. And I think it's only right that we support it. So I'll be out there doing my bit, as will my family.
What about the allegations that there's been a bit of a contradiction, a bit of hypocrisy? The government last week talking about an anti-obesity strategy. We're not allowed to see adverts for supposedly junk food on the internet or after before 9 p.m. on television, we're told. And because this will make us all horribly fat. And yet we're being given a subsidy from the government, from taxpayers' money, to go and eat out. I don't know about you. I tend not to choose the boiled fish and broccoli option when I go out to eat.
Well, as I said, look, we quite rightly, I think, have challenged the food industry and, of course, restaurants to do their bit, to do the right thing, to make sure that people understand what they're eating and how many calories in the food that they're eating. That doesn't take away from us wanting to support the sector in a difficult time. The two things can go hand in hand. You can go out and support the sector and eat healthily as well. The most important thing, Julia, you may choose to take the options that you choose. The most important thing is that you know what you're eating and hopefully what you're drinking and how many calories you're drinking. Like Boris, I'm slightly heavier built, and I've been certainly through this pandemic, looking at how I can improve my diet.
Okay, just final question while the other media outlets get into you. The House of Lords, 36 new appointees from the Prime Minister, including his own brother and a Russian newspaper owner. Do we live in a banana republic now?
Well, first of all, it's not a Russian newspaper. It's someone who's chosen to make his home the United Kingdom, to invest in the United Kingdom. As Joe Johnson, who's contributed both to politics in this country and, of course, to civil society, there's nothing wrong with recognising people who make a contribution to this country. And I think, as the Prime Minister's done, he's taken in more people into the Lords who aren't from politics than are from politics. But that shouldn't preclude people in politics like Joe to be able to be recognised. The work Joe did in government was actually something that one, he should rightly be proud of, but the country should also quite rightly recognise.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Online, on DAB, and on the Talk Radio app. Talk Radio.
Let's talk about what's been going on in care homes, though, because the government is bringing in these new tests, rapid testing, these 90-minute tests on the front page of lots of the papers today. But as I said to the government minister, Nadeem Zahawi, about half an hour ago, you know, I'm wondering whether, you know, we've heard all this before, all these tests being rolled out, a million here, a million there, and yet we don't ever seem to see quite the scale that we're being promised. And this, of course, at a time when the government has apparently abandoned their key pledge to test all care home residents and staff regularly. Absolutely vital, given that, of course, we've seen thousands of deaths in care homes. Let's talk to Nadra Ahmed, OBE, who's chair of the National Care Association. Good morning to you, Nadra.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. It's very difficult, isn't it, for us, you know, as lay people to understand, you know, this idea of, yeah, more, you know, more of these sort of crucial tests that are going to be game changers rolled out. But, you know, the basic testing we've had all along, we still haven't got that up to scratch in terms of the numbers available to be actually handed out for people who need these tests. Were we not told from word go that there would be testing of everyone in the care homes, and that still isn't happening?
Well, from the word go, sadly, we didn't have any access to the testing. And it sort of appeared late May, June, where we started to get them and all the promises started coming. And actually, it's a bit of a postcode lottery from what I can tell. We've got some providers telling us, you know, they're waiting 3-4 weeks for tests. So this weekly testing of staff and monthly testing of residents, it is very patchy. But of course, because it's patchy, what it's doing is it's laying vulnerable people at risk across the country in a way that we've been promised would not happen. We were told there was a protective ring around us.
Oh, sorry. Apologies, Nadia. There's quite a lot of sort of a pinging, a puffing noise. I don't know if you're a little bit too close to the microphone or not, but it's just difficult to hear. Let me ask you. I mean, in terms of the number of care homes that have got access to testing, I know my elderly aunt's care home, they managed to get testing for everybody about a month or so ago, I think it was, but across the board, everybody, whether they had any symptoms or not, and everyone, it was absolutely fine. There were no cases there. They'd had some suspected cases about a month earlier, not been able to get testing for everyone. But so am I right in thinking something like 2/3 of care homes have not had testing for everyone, asymptomatic testing across the board?
Well, we haven't had. I couldn't hear some of your question, Julia, but the testing, the asymptomatic is the issue in all of this. So you can have the test. If you abandon this policy of testing, what you're doing is, if somebody has symptoms, we can recognise the symptoms and we can either send them home or we can isolate them if they're a service user. The problem is the asymptomatic testing. If we don't have regular testing available day in, day out for when we need it, we're not actually doing the job that we've been promised we would be enabled
to do. Pretty basic stuff, though, isn't it? I mean, this is, you know, we know that this virus will go around like, you know, wildfire around a care home for obvious reasons, the same way they went around hospitals. We know this is where people who are the most vulnerable. Why is this not happening? Is it a lack of the tests not exist? Do they not have the money for it? Is it lack of will? I mean, what do you think the issue is?
Well, I don't think it's a lack of will. I think it's an overpromise. I think that's sadly what it is. And it's quite a dangerous overpromise, because the reality in all of this is that they've had to withdraw one of the tests that they sent to all the care homes because of the accuracy. So care homes were sent these tests and then told you can't use them because they're not accurate.
Yeah.
They've not then been able to replace those tests. So that's created this massive shortage. And finding another producer to bring about the tests that are accurate is what they're working at. So I don't think it's that the will isn't there. I think the problem we have is there's a massive overpromise based on the stock available.
Across the UK, online, on DAB and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
Going to be talking about the £10 eating out vouchers, which started today, and also the worry that masks are actually not helping people, encouraging people to go out and about into the shops and elsewhere, but actually preventing them and putting them off. Let's talk to Alan Sodhi about all of this with the Federation of Small Businesses. Good morning to you, Alan.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Julia. Well, you can talk about schools if you want, but this is the thing. We've been told, haven't we, the Chris Whitty on Friday, that press conference with the Prime Minister, that the government has said that they're pretty sure that we have reached sort of the limit of how much we can be mixing and going about our normal lives without an increased spread of the virus. And therefore, we're seeing these local lockdowns. We're seeing some moves to look at like what we would do in the future. But a lot of this is going on at the same time as we're trying to encourage people, go out to the shops, wear a mask, use your £10 voucher, eat out to help out. Do you think these messages, these contradictory messages, are making it really hard for many small businesses, particularly in the retail and the food industry, to actually get people to come out and spend their cash?
Well, I know where there are local lockdowns, then things like the eat out to help out won't actually be happening. But I do see your wider point here, Julia, that inevitably, it's important, of course, that the health and the science is put first. It's also important where possible to get more bits of the economy unlocked. But like on Friday, where we had a very last minute announcement from the Prime Minister that some businesses that thought that they were going to be able to reopen again the following day, all of a sudden, there was a feeling that that would be a bit too much too soon. And while, yes, of course, it's understandable that the scientific need for that has to be put first, the fact is there are an awful lot of those businesses that had brought staff back off furlough, that had spent money preparing to reopen, that had been taking bookings. Maybe some of those now have to be refunded. And I think the wider point that it goes to show is that this is not going to go away anytime soon. This is not where we can suddenly flick a switch and get back to normal. And when it comes to government support schemes, that there have been a lot of great government support schemes over the last few months. Not everyone has been helped, but an awful lot of smaller business owners have. But if it's going to be a stop-start reopening, and if things are going to be announced and then people's minds changed again because the science pushes in that direction, then that needs to be reflected in some of those support schemes going forward.
And that's the thing, isn't it? The crucial change at the weekend was, of course, the 1st of August, we started seeing employers having to make a contribution to the furlough scheme. And we've seen, of course, you know, at the end of October, that's going to end completely, which, of course, is at a time when we may be, as you say, going back into some versions of lockdown. We've already seen, haven't we, that, the local lockdown in the Northwest that we were discussing on Friday morning, Greater Manchester actually announced last night, to all intents and purposes, an emergency situation, a major incident declared last night because of a sharp rise in infections. How are businesses supposed to cope with this then? Because, you know, it's almost like you're sort of being given help with one hand and it's taken away with the other, because with the muddled messaging that we're getting, like, go out, spend your money. Oh, God, stay at home. It's terribly dangerous. We're in the middle of a second wave.
It has been really difficult. And, you know, the Prime Minister has talked about planning for the worst and hoping for the best. And a lot of businesses are in the position where they're really having to have not just one business continuity plan, but actually several possible plans for different potential outcomes as part of that, which does make it really hard to plan ahead. It really makes it hard to invest and get back up and running again. And again, it shows the need that these businesses are still going to be some way off operating at anything like a normal level, and therefore bringing in the kind of money that they're bringing in and being able to pay the bills as easily as they could before. So still a very, very long way to go. With the Eat Out to Help Out scheme, though, for launching today, a lot of restaurants, those that are taking part, and it's not just restaurants, it's cafes, yep, it's pubs as well, anywhere where they have an eating-in area, those that have registered, and thousands have, will be taking part. They will have been going to great efforts to make sure that their eating area is completely compliant with the government's regulations, that they've got the distancing, they'll have taken out some tables and chairs, doubtlessly. Some of them, of course, have got outdoor spaces as well, which in the nice weather is quite helpful. So hopefully for those people who are going out and about, you have had the confidence to go out more recently, that people will see that actually it's worth supporting, particularly smaller, local, independent food businesses.
Absolutely. I think that's what a lot of people have been doing, haven't we? We often see, footage from 4th of July onwards of central cities and city centres saying, you know, they're looking empty. But actually, it's because a lot of people just eating out locally. They don't want to be getting in a cab or going on the bus or whatever. And so they're eating out locally. And again, supporting those restaurants. Certainly in the first day, that's what we did. We went to the restaurant that we've taken our daughter to for years and years, and it just felt really like sort of coming home. And it was a really nice feeling, a lovely atmosphere in the restaurant. And a lot of this is about, it's about habits, isn't it? We spoke to Luke Johnson a little bit earlier of Gale's Bakeries. People have got out of the habit of going out. Certainly I have. I mean, part of, for me, the lockdown was a little bit of a relief getting to actually stay in, have a little bit of a quiet life for a little while. But I was still busy with work, so it didn't really feel the sort of the pain that a lot of people who didn't have work were feeling. But for a lot of people, they've just got out of the habit. And the key thing about this Monday to Wednesday, people go out, it's going to be a lot quieter than it would be on a Friday or a Saturday. So people who have been a bit anxious, a bit worried, they can feel a lot safer. And then just get used to the idea, you know what, being out and about isn't so bad.
And this scheme's been deliberately targeted at Monday to Wednesday, which is generally for a lot of these food businesses is the quieter part of the week. So I think with all of this, there has to be a following of the science, and as things stand, apart from in areas where those local lockdowns are, this is deemed to be a safe activity to do. As I say, the restaurants and cafes have been sorting out all the distancing, and so hopefully people will begin to feel confident to go out to support those businesses and to try to start edging a little bit further towards normal life. I think a lot of this has to do with common sense for people as well, and to be for consumers themselves when they're out and about to be following the rules that they're supposed to be doing. If they're going to shops, to be actually wearing the face mask, not just putting it round the chin, is what I've seen some people doing. I know what you were going to say there, Julia. And also, just on the eat out to help out thing, where it's a restaurant, the chances are you will have to book ahead. And that's helping restaurants to make sure that they're not oversubscribed if they are popular. But one thing I would just say with that is, please do stick to your booking, or if you have to cancel, give them as much notice as possible. Don't be one of those no-shows.
Yes, I cannot get over it. I said someone who used to work as a waitress for many years, I cannot get over people doing that. No, if you can't make it, babysitters cancel, whatever it is, you've got to let them know, because you're stopping someone else getting a meal, and it's just bad manners, quite apart from the fact it's not helping these businesses too, just trying to stay afloat. If you want that restaurant ever to be there in the future, you've got to treat them with the respect you'd want them to treat you.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.